The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks, we're dropping some bombshells here. I'm talking to Kathy Lee Gifford. She just threw shade at King James. Yes, King James. You know the King James that persecuted the Puritans that came here for religious freedom? That bum, remember? But we say, oh, King James Bible. Kathy Lee, you were just saying that the King James Bible, which was written by 12 committees, that it's got some problems.
First of all, the people who were transposing it, transcribing it, whatever you want to call it, from the original Greek and the original Hebrew, had never been to Israel. And so they had no geopolitical or cultural contrasts.
Right.
You know, it's context.
So they said, no, I know there are many things that are in the King James that you read it and you think, this feels like 1605 England.
Yes. First of all, Jesus did not speak the King's English. Jesus spoke Aramaic, he spoke Hebrew, and he spoke Greek. And probably a little bit more, you know, because this was a trading post, you know, the Via Maris, the road of the sea along the Mediterranean, getting ahead of myself too fast, Kathy's too fast, was a major trade route to the north, south, and down to Africa, and down to, you know, and north to like Turkey and on Asia. And so lots of people came through there.
Now,
the worst thing is that everybody thinks Jesus had been a carpenter, because that's what it says in the King James.
But he was a tecton, which is different. He was a builder.
He was a builder. And back then, the only thing you could really build with, was stone. Jesus was a stonemason.
Thank you.
Now, why that's important is twofold. Number one, I don't want to be told he was something he wasn't. I want it to be what it really is. Would you please tell me what tecton means? It means architect / builder, which I love, because we know that Jesus was with the Father and the Holy Spirit as the architect of all of creation. So I'm with that. That's cool. In the beginning was, right? And builder, that's where they went wrong. They went, oh, builder, he was a carpenter like us in England. No. All the buildable trees that are in Israel now were planted after it became a state in 1948.
You know what? I never thought of this. I never thought, Albin, that I would learn this kind of level of stuff from Kathy Lee Gifford. She's just a showbiz personality. Yeah. I'm not expecting this kind of stuff. Kathy, keep going.
No, and so the second part of why it's important, and you know this,
yes.
Now the scriptures comes to life. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And he didn't mean Peter. He meant the truth that he had just declared that you are the Messiah. Upon this truth, I will build my kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, the gates of hell is a real place near Caesarea Philippi, where it's a Pan. It's an ancient temple to Pan, and they think that it was the entrance to hell through this cavernous lagoon thing. So and all sorts of bestiality and sort of things were happening.
Not
there.
That they were judging.
No, Jesus took his disciples there to show them that. And to teach them a great truth. No good rabbi would ever do that. They would avoid places like that. Jesus took them there to see it, so he would know what the world they needed to go into in his name. Mm. So I want to know what tecton means. Another thing you don't learn unless you're studying rabbinically is, when I was 12 years old, I got kicked out of Sunday school. When I was 8, I got kicked out of the Brownies. And when I was 17, I got kicked out of America's Junior Miss Pageant. This is my sordid life of crime.
Wow.
I was a wild woman. But I got kicked out of Sunday school.
You got kicked out of the Brownies?
Yes.
I can say, honestly, I was never kicked out of the Brownies. That's amazing.
I know. What
did you stab another brownie?
So much time with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to tell you though why I got kicked out of Sunday school.
Yeah.
Because we were reading the story in the New Testament, and we should never talk about Old and New Testament either, because it's one story. It's not the Old Testament belongs to the Jews and the New Testament belongs to Christians.
Right.
It's one very long story based basically in the Jewish faith, and Christians have never been taught that in the Western world.
Right.
So anyway, the story about when Jesus came down from the Mount of Olives, he'd been in Bethany, and he's coming down the Mount of Olives on that very, very famous road that ultimately he would ride the donkey down for his last week on this earth, and it goes right through the middle of the Garden of Gethsemane on either side. As he's walking on that road, which you can still visit, Rock Road and Rabbi, baby, there was a tree. It was a sycamore fig tree, and it says Jesus saw the tree, and he was hungry, and he went over to it, and there was what? No fruit, because the Bible says he cursed it. He cursed the tree. Now, I remember saying in Sunday school, I don't believe that. And my Sunday school teacher goes, what? I said, I don't believe that. She goes, it's in the Bible. I said, I know, but I don't think it means that. It couldn't. Jesus would never curse something he created. He loves everything he creates.
Albert, I'm about to kick Kathy Lee off of the show. Kathy, you're gonna have to pull this out of the tailspin. What happened? I'm dying to know.
She said, I don't think that you should be. She said, if you don't believe in the Bible, then I said, but that was the story was, I didn't want to go to Sunday school anymore if I couldn't ask questions. And so
what happened
is now I'm 40 years later, I'm on a rabbinical trip.
Right.
And we're studying the very same thing. And we're on that road. And I say to my rabbi, I said, I don't believe that Jesus cursed the tree. And he goes, you're right. I'm going, really? Redemption? And he goes, geopolitically, the context there is, in first century A.D., then they were not trees then, really. They called them trees, but they're really glorified bushes, like the balsam, the olive.
Right.
You couldn't build things with them. You could make little bowls.
Right.
So he said, but every major tree.
Right.
Represented something in Jewish culture. The olive tree represented the Jewish people.
Right.
Many other things, as you know, different trees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guess what represented the fig sycamore tree represented?
Since we don't have time, I'm going to let you tell us.
The Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Really?
Jesus was saying, "Woe to you, you hypocrites, for not feeding your sheep."
Now, what commentary do I have to read to find that? Because whenever I hear something like this, my initial response is anger. Like, why are we not taught this?
Why are we not taught it? Why did the children in Sunday school to this day think that Jesus was a carpenter? He was born in a stable and born in December. None of that is true. So why don't we just tell the truth? It's so much more interesting. Jesus was conceived in December. During this season right now, Hanukkah, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He came into the world through the conception of the Holy Spirit into Mary's womb in December. So in a sense, he was born then, but he wasn't physically born till 9 months later. When? During the festival of Sukkot. Sukkot, some people call it. And that's the festival of shelters when the Jews celebrate.
The tabernacles. Let us build three booths.
Well, it's really about the Jewish people remembering God's faithfulness during the wilderness experiences. So what we do, as Western Christians don't understand is that every major thing that ever happened in Jesus' life happened during one of the Jewish festivals. He was a rabbi. He was a good rabbi. He kept the law. He came to fulfill it. We know he was murdered on Passover, but he wasn't raised on Easter Sunday. That's a pagan thing. That festival is called First Fruits, and he was the first fruit, the first son of the Almighty.
The truth is way more interesting
than the myths
we've been hearing.
Yes,
because the deeper you dig, the more you find.
Right.
I mean, it's so fascinating to me. You mentioned having an atheist. Which is the atheist friend? Is it
atheist
Ricky?
Is Ricky Gervais?
We'll talk about this another time. But my new book, which I'll give you a copy of, is called "Is Atheism Dead?" I have come to believe.
Nietzsche said
that you can't really be an intellectually fulfilled atheist. If you want to be an agnostic, you can, but that science and biblical archaeology and things really make it impossible to say there's no God. If you want to say, I'm not ready to be a Christian, I've got questions. Great.
That's fine. Yeah.
But to say in this day and age, I know there's no God, or we could have the universe.
There's no higher power.
Without God, I would say that
it's all random.
You no longer can do that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, all right. Talking to Kathy Lee Gifford, the book is The Jesus I Know, Honest Conversations and Diverse Opinions About Who He Is. We'll be right back. Hey there, folks. Have you ever looked for a business podcast? You're into business, but you also like to be entertained. So you're looking for a funny business podcast. Well, some of them try to be funny. They're just not funny, which is a problem. I think I have the answer for you. If you like business news and current events with a side of actual comedy, you want to listen to – I can't say this with a straight face. It's called IP Frequently. The hosts are David and Brad. IP Frequently, solid business advice that leans right, conservative, comes with 80s music and current events. They're calling it the unicorn of business podcasts. Is that a good thing? If it's funny, it is a good thing. They're also calling it the holy grail of business podcasts. Subscribe to IP Frequently and stay up to date on their weekly stream of episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Go to ipfrequently.com. That's ipfrequently.com. Hey there, folks. I'm a writer, but I do this show just to pick up a few extra bucks. And I'm talking to Kathy Lee Gifford. The book is The Jesus I Know, Honest Conversations and Diverse Opinions About Who He Is. So it seems like already in the title, Kathy, you're kind of going out of your way to make a statement that the Jesus that we hear about or that a lot of people have heard about is not quite who Jesus is. In other words, a lot of people have gotten a lot of bad religious ideas about Jesus, and they have kept him at arm's length. And you, in your life, have made an effort to have conversations with people to lead him to who Jesus really is.
I believe that Jesus shows up in people's lives in different ways. He's a custom-made God. He loves us as individuals. That's why I can't stand this cookie-cutter mentality in the culture we live in today. Look like I do, breathe like I do, worship like I do, vote like I do, speak just all the same mumbo-jumbo. I repel it from it because I recoil from it because that's the antithesis of what God did when he created us. Once there's so much trouble, snowflakes have a completely different DNA, millions and billions and billions, and we do too. And then the world tries to make us all the same. And I just believe that's also why I left college. I went to a Christian college and I left because I knew I was different. And I said, they should not mess with my difference. God is not pleased when we mess with people's differences. We're offending him. Wait a minute. I made Eric to be a smart butt, to act that way.
A compliment or what was that?
He can work on some of it. We'll work together. But our idiosyncrasies and our peccadillos and all those kinds of things are what make us uniquely
peccadillos,
who we are.
Peccadillos. Since you're challenging me now to correct you when you did.
Peccadillos.
Peccadillos.
Pick a little, peck a little, pick a little, pick a little, pick, 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 pick a lot, pick a little, little.
I knew he'd sing eventually.
Uh-huh.
You've met so many people. You must have met people that were very put off. We mentioned earlier Howard Stern. For some reason, for years, he just decided to publicly hate on you.
Oh,
why?
Why? I don't know, and it doesn't matter. He did. I think it's because hurt people hurt people. And when he finally called me and begged for forgiveness.
Why? Why would he do that?
Because do you really want to hear that whole story? Do we have time for that?
I'm just curious what would precipitate something like that from him.
I was at the studio one day, and I was leaving that afternoon because my son was going to be graduating from college. And down, I was getting my hair and makeup done upstairs, and down and on a studio monitor, I saw that he had just walked in. He was just announcing that he was going to be the judge on America's Got Talent. So there was this huge group of people going in, and I didn't know he was going to be on the show, and everybody was terrified that he and I might cross paths because of this ongoing, you know, whatever, for 30-year feud. And I look up and I go, oh, I didn't know he was going to be on today. And the Lord speaks directly to my heart and says, I want you to go downstairs and say hello to him and welcome him. And I said, okay, Lord. So I get up out of my seat. My hair and makeup people freak out because they're supposed to say, I'm supposed to be safe away from Howard Stern. I go downstairs. I'm 5'5". He's 6'6", or something like that. There's 1,000 people in the studio. I've got no hair and makeup on. I've got dressed from the country where I just came in from and upstate. And I'm going, Howard, looking up. And he's going, looking around at who's calling him. And he looks down at me because I'm so much shorter. And I said, hi, Kathy Lee. I thought it was about time we said hello. And I just want to congratulate you on the new show and wish you all the best. And he goes, he just freaked. He goes, it's crazy. It's crazy. I said, all the best to you. And I went back, sat down, got my hair and makeup done. And they're all going, what did you do? What did you say? I said, I told him hello and wished him well. The Lord told me to, so I did. I get to California. And the phone rings, and it's Howard. And he's basically, he's a wreck. Just a wreck. And begging me. I uses such bad language, I can't tell you what he said. Because I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a this. And you were so nice to me. Why were you so nice to me? After everything I've said about you and your husband and your kids and your...
This is like out of fiction. I mean, this is so beautiful. I'm so glad you're telling this. Because I don't recall hearing this. This is... the definition of what's supposed to happen, isn't it?
It is. And he was crying. And he said, will you please forgive me? And I said, Howard, you know what? I am so happy for you that you have come to this place where you realize that it's important to make amends with people that you've hurt. I want you to have peace. I want you to use the shalom in your life. It's so important that you have God's peace. I said, but I got to tell you, I forgave you 30 years ago. And I've been praying for you every single day since then. And because that's true. I still do. I still pray for him and Beth every day. And he goes, what? You've been praying for me? And I said, yes. And I cannot tell you how wonderful it is to hear from you today. Thank you for calling me. And would you like to have dinner? We'd love to have you for dinner. He goes, you'd have me at your house? My husband wasn't too thrilled about that. But I said, absolutely. Now, I never was able to do it, but he asked me to his house. I couldn't go because I was out of town, and I've seen him since then, and he's very friendly. It's one of those things that took 30 years to be accomplished, but I was faithful every day to pray for my enemy. He's not an enemy I chose. He chose to be my enemy. I'd never met the man, never heard his show, never anything. I didn't know where it was coming from except for the pit of hell, because all that kind of evil does come from the pit of hell.
Well, it's such a, with people like him, I mean, I have loved and hated Howard Stern through the decades. Because what I recognize in him, what I appreciate in him, and much of which I aspire to myself, is a kind of truth-telling, no-nonsense.
Call it like it is.
Honesty, genius humor. Now, of course, he takes it places that we wouldn't, but I have admired that about him.
No, God gave him extraordinary gifts. It's how he uses them, you know? And I think Beth, his wife, has been a great influence on him. She's a very loving, soft-spoken, humble kind of girl. I've only met her when she came on our show, and I've interviewed her. She's very, very likable girl, and she's been a good influence on him. And I think he started getting some help, he told me. He's been going to therapy, and he said, I'm effed up, I'm so effing this, I'm so effing that. I said, no, you're loved of God, Howard. God loves you. God loves you, and he's just been waiting for you to understand that, you know.
I can just hear him saying, what a nightmare. I'm talking to Kathy Lee Gifford about that. Like, it's so funny because he appreciates the irony because of how real he is.
Of course. Well, we both grew up in Annapolis. We're the same age, and we're both Jewish.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. He was Baltimore. I was in Annapolis, and we were the same age, and, you know, he just, I don't know. You'd have to ask him why he hated me for so long. The beauty of it is that he doesn't anymore.
See, that'd be my dream, Alvin. Write this down. to have a show where I have Howard and Kathy on and we have a conversation. Because there's something so beautiful about all of this. We don't have time
to get
into
the gospel.
Details.
It's called God's love.
Right, but the problem is that it is so rare that we see it lived out in the way you've just described. We all know what it's called and what it's supposed to be, but to see it in public figures and
well,
in
it's
this
not
kind of
fun
rear
to be hated.
Way.
I didn't like the things I heard that people said he said.
Yeah.
I didn't like it at all. But I understood that he said this is a man who doesn't know yet that God loves him. And that's where when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he didn't curse everybody that was spitting on him. He said, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know who they're doing it to.
Right.
They don't know. And so we have to tell them. And how do we tell them? By modeling Jesus' love. And then after we tell them, we help them grow. You know, we're way into just getting people saved in our. And no, and then it's the renewing of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our minds, our hearts and minds.
Well, because we've seen so many people technically get saved; they become Christians, and I think that this is another heresy, which goes back to all the stuff that you've been talking about. It's a fundamental misunderstanding that just gets pumped up on steroids through the centuries, as though the goal of life is to get people saved. Getting saved is crossing the starting line.
Yes.
It's not crossing the finishing line.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
the starting line. And we act...
Unless you're on your deathbed.
Well, right.
But that's the starting line for a whole new life, too. It's all purposeful. And there's nothing random. You will love this. I'm sure you know this. Learned man that you are. But do you know that in the Hebrew, there is no word in the Hebrew language for coincidence.
Yeah.
Because it does not exist to a Jew.
Right.
To a Jew, God is either sovereign God in all things, or he's not God at all. That's a brand new concept for an often. When somebody says, good luck, there's no such thing as luck.
Oh,
there's no
I
such
love
thing
it.
As
my
luck.
My father, now, I believe my father is a believer. He's 94. But in the classic Greek way, he always says to me, you know, kalitihi, good luck. And I say to him in Greek, I say, then iparchi dihi. There is no such thing as luck. You know, like to remind him.
That's right.
Like luck is crap.
Nothing
luck
is random.
Luck is nothing.
Nothing.
Either you have God or you don't, and you don't need luck.
You have God, but more importantly, he's got you. And then all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose.
Alvin, make a note to have her back. I like this woman. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204.
Hello, I'm talking to Kathy Lee Gifford, or is it Kathy Lee Gifford? Kathy, you
yes,
have
sir.
A new book out called The Jesus I Know, Honest Conversations, Diverse Opinions About Who He Is. Who do you talk to in this book? Because you just have a zillion celebrity
Yeah, you
friends.
Know, that was the first prayer. Once I agreed to do the book because of my agent, he said, Kathy, that was my most fascinating stories. Would you ever do a whole book of things like that?
Right.
I don't know. Let me pray about that. Prayed about it, and the Lord said, yeah. And I said, well, Lord, then show me who you want to speak. It's the most eclectic group of people. None of them have the same story. And I didn't want to talk to anybody that got saved in a church, never left that church, never got out, never went anywhere. You know, just, that's not a story to me. I'm a storyteller. I write Broadway shows. I write books. I write music. So that tell me a story that's compelling. Not that I don't want people to get saved anywhere they get saved. That's fine. But that doesn't make a book.
Right.
So that all of a sudden I started, I think only one person that I asked said no.
Was that me?
No, because no.
Because my lawyer said, Eric, I don't want you doing this book. You are the biggest celebrity.
In the world.
She needs you for this book to succeed, and I don't think you should do it. And I said, okay, I'm not doing it.
You know what? You're not the one that was supposed to do it. The Lord didn't put you on my heart. Sorry.
See, she had to get serious, Alvin. She couldn't just go with the stupid shtick.
No, all right, I would love you to do the next one.
Would you stop it?
Apparently there will be a next one.
I refuse. Okay, come on, stop.
All right, so there are people that you wouldn't think have a faith life story to tell.
Yes.
People like Jimmy Allen, the country singer, the black country singer.
Yes.
I love him. He's amazing story. People like Kristen Chenoweth, Broadway star. People like Kris Jenner, of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Very few people would believe that she has a very, very long and storied walk with Jesus.
Kris Jenner.
Of the matriarch.
I didn't know that.
See?
I did not know that.
Yeah. We went to Bible study together 40 years ago. And we've been friends ever since then. And that's talk about thick and thin friends, right? We've been through everything together, everything. And if I got off the phone, off with you right now and got on the phone and I needed something, it'd be there. She'd do it. She'd do it. I've done it for her. She does it for me. I'm a friend and I'm not a fair weather one. You know, I want to be, if I'm a friend, I'm your friend, you know. So anyway, there are people like that. There are people like, there are faith healers. Tell their story. There are prophets that tell their story.
Anybody that I would know?
You should know Joanne Moody, and you should know Hubie Sin, and you will after you
read
the book.
I don't know them.
Yes, because you haven't read the book. But anyway.
Oh, I have to read the book now? Okay.
And there are people, Chrissy, who would you think that, let me tell you one that really, really blesses me. They all bless me, but I talk to Sikhs. I talk to Hindus. I talk to atheists. I talk to Catholics and Baptists. And I talk to Scientologists. One of my favorite people in this world is the man I've probably written the most music with. My two Broadway outings were with him. And then big thing, the movie that I have coming out in the spring is with him. And lots and lots and lots of songs. Adore him. And he is a Jewish Scientologist married to a Catholic Scientologist who adopted a child who is now 22, but he was raised as a Scientologist. When I was praying about, Lord, who should go on some of these trips with me to Israel for the Rock Roden Rabbi tour, the Lord said, David Pomerantz and his wife and daughter, I want the whole family to come. They were the only whole family that came. And so I brought them with me and not knowing what would happen. But I love David from all the years we had worked together. And I don't understand Scientology. I certainly don't practice it. But I love him. I think that's the message in this book. And I want to let him talk to me and tell me why he believes something. And then we can have a dialogue, a respectful one, a loving one. And we have never yelled at one another in over 20 years of writing together. So they came. And it was fascinating to watch David react and his wife react, and then this child. And at the very end, we go to a place on the Jordan River, and we have a baptism, but the kind that John the Baptist did, not the kind that's, you know, a little dunking thing, not a real kind, you know. So anyway, what they actually did in the days of John the Baptist is very different from a modern day baptism. So first person in the Jordan River during the baptism was Nicholas, his son. Nicholas, his son. He's in the book, and he later says, I consider myself a Christian, Kathy. He said, I study Scientology, and I apply some of its teachings, and it's been helpful to me, but I consider myself a Christian. And David said to me, I have never felt more in touch with my Judaism ever in my whole life as I did when we were in Israel. We wrote a song together called Jehovah Elohim That Will Kill You. Because, I mean, we've written so many songs, and many of them about faith, about Jesus, lots of them. And but he got to know Jesus on that trip. And then his wife also had not been a practicing Catholic for years. Had just remembered a lot of the good things about the Catholic Church and still valued it as a learning thing in her. Every member of that family took communion in the Garden of Gethsemane before we got on the plane that night. That's not because I took them to Israel. That's because I obeyed the Holy Spirit, invited them. The Holy Spirit moved in them to go.
But you have
and
to
then
have,
they heard the word of God in the places
but,
where these
but
things
you
happen.
You just have to be a special kind of person to see the possibility of that and then to walk into it. I'm just so grateful. We'll be right back talking to Kathy Lee Gifford.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Folks, I'm talking to Kathy Lee Gifford. Remember Kathy Lee Gifford? Here she is. Kathy, this book is The Jesus I Know. Anything else that you need to share from this? Because I want to make sure that I ask you what you're doing with yourself when you're not promoting this book. Because you are always working on so many things.
Yeah, but I am, and I love that. I love that I have the freedom now that I don't work on a daytime talk show or anything else daytime that I have to.
Yeah.
I just have some freedom now in my life to pursue the dreams God put in me when I was a child, when I was in my mother's womb. I'm an actress and a singer and a performer and a comedian and a writer, and I'm a director now, and I'm all those things. Why? Because that's the way God created me. When people go, "I thought you retired," I said, "No, I'd never retire. Nobody in the Bible ever retired. They died doing what God had put them on this earth to do.
That's
or else
right.
They were taken away like Enoch. Nobody
right.
knows where Enoch showed up.
Right.
And John was, Elijah was a chariot of fire. We know what happened to him. John was exiled on Patmos. But everybody else died doing serving God.
But you're doing a million things. I mean, you just talked about writing a screenplay for Craig Ferguson. that I can't believe. I don't know how I missed that.
Oh, you're going to
love
this
him, and I love
movie.
You, but I don't know where I was. But what are you working on these days? What else is cooking with you?
I wrote up an oratorio with a beautiful artist named Nicole C. Mullen 3 years ago called The God Who Sees. I'd love you to watch that. It's 11 and a half minutes. It was started out to be just a 3-minute song about Hagar. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when I was left to finish the song, it then became, because of my theater background, it became about Hagar, then Ruth, and then David with all of their desert experiences, and ends with Mary Magdalene at the cross and at the tomb. And it's called The God Who Sees because Hagar, who was sex trafficked, you know, let's be honest, she was a slave. She was carried away to a different place. She was given to her husband, Sarah's husband, Abraham, by Sarah, and said, "Have a child with my husband." I mean, it's a dark episode in Abraham and Sarah's, you know, story. But I love that about the Bible. It doesn't whitewash things. You know, it tells the good and bad and the ugly. And so then it went into Ruth, it had a phenomenal reaction in the marketplace. It was so powerful that when I went into the studio to just demo it with Nicole, magnificent African American singer writer, beautiful.
I know who she is.
Yeah.
But she
95% of what you hear her do on The God Who Sees was one take. Inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Just crazy, crazy. Like, I was on my face worshiping when we finished. It was so good. I said, you know what? I got to get the Nashville Symphony Orchestra on this thing, the players. I got to do it. It's just too good. It's too good. I took the royalties from my Rock Road and Rabbi book, which was $500,000 sitting in a kingdom account to go to for ministry. I said, that's the way the Lord wants me to use it. That turned out so unbelievable. 65-piece orchestra with the orchestrations are magnificent. And I went, okay, pack your bags. We're going to Israel. So in 4 days, we shot it in Israel. And the reaction to it has been so phenomenal. That a young Iranian girl that is a dear friend of mine, you would call her, she would call herself a secular, grew up with Persian parents, but the hippest, most beautiful, gorgeous girl, she was worked at the Today Show with us. When she heard it, she's sobbing. And instead of people saying it's too long, it's 11 and a half minutes, this is a 28-year-old girl. She goes, sobbing, she goes, Kathy, This is unbelievable. Can you make it longer? Can you add more stories? I've never heard these stories before. Eric, I went over to her and loved on. I said, you have no idea how the Lord just used you in my life. I'm supposed to spend the rest of my life bringing Bible stories, these epic, amazing stories that the world either discounts as never happened, or if they did, they're not relevant today. I take them and I write them into symphonic form with narration, like Tchaikovsky's Peter and the Wolf. You know, that's an oratorio. There's narration and symphonic music. Yeah. But it's ancient storytelling. And now there's three more oratorios. It's a film now.
What?
It's an hour and a half.
I asked this question.
Hour and a half long. I will send it to you if you promise not to share it yet, because you are a pirate at heart.
I can promise not to share it.
It turned out... In fact, I've just sent it over to Matt and Lori Crouch of TBN because
I'm not talking to them anymore.
Okay, you too? No, just kidding. I love them.
They owe me $40. And you know what? So do you.
What?
Everybody owes me $40.
I don't owe you a dang
thing.
I'm
kidding. I tell you, I'm so glad to hear you're working on things like this.
Oh, this is.
I did see.
Epic.
Now that you mentioned it, I did see. What you did with Nicole. I don't know if I saw the whole thing, but I remember when was that?
It came out the day that I left the Today Show. So it was April 7th. It'll be 3 years this coming April.
Because I remember it now, and I haven't seen you since then because, gosh.
No, it had a profound effect. It's still having it. You can go on YouTube and just say, God who sees, and it will come right up. And if you care to, look at the comments after it. You know that on YouTube you get all these.
Yeah.
Even if you look at it today,
there'll
be somebody who says, "I was going to kill myself today, but for the first time, I feel like God sees me. He is the God who sees." And I'm sobbing now. Now people say, I've watched it for the 30th time, and each time my faith is real. I mean, it's because it's been anointed of the Holy Spirit that it has what we call in my business, it's got legs. You know, it's timeless.
It's like Ann Miller. It's got legs.
It's got legs. Yes.
I just wanted to throw an Ann Miller reference.
That
in.
Just.
Oh yeah,
Dick Cavett
would have
loved
way
it.
Way back.
Dick Cavett.
I
Ann
only
Margaret,
want to talk
she had
to people.
Legs too.
I only want to get, but not like nobody had legs like Ann Miller. No, I only want to talk to people who get those stupid references. So thank you.
Well,
thank you being old enough to get the Ann Miller reference.
Yeah, my pleasure.
No, I mean, my wife and I just watch, Turner Classic Movies all the time.
All the time. They were made with such skill.
What else is there?
Well, then you're really going to like Then Came You because it's an homage to to those kinds of, pillow talk kind of, and even,
And by
Doris
the way,
Day
speaking
and-
of pillow talk, I just did a Kathy Lee Gifford mug. Did you see that? I just did one of these. But pillow talk, they've had Doris Day on recently, like endless, like you eventually get sick of it. It's like enough Doris.
Love her.
And Tony Randall. And like they're the greatest, but like.
Rock Hudson.
Enough. Well, obviously. You know something I had, since we're doing showbiz anecdotes and we're out of time, Pat Boone has been on the show many times. He told me the story of praying on the deathbed with Rock Hudson to accept Jesus the day before he passed away. When you hear stories like this, just want to weep and weep. We're out of time. Folks, the book is The Jesus I Know. The author is Kathy Lee Gifford. Kathy, thank you.
You live your life in the songs you hear on the rock and roll.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, I'm still in tears.
Oh,
yeah,
brother. All right, folks. Let's get serious here for a second. Enough joking around. No, we've been serious. It's wonderful talking to Kathy Lee Gifford. I want to say a few things. Number one, please do what you can to share these interviews on social media. We need your help. I haven't mentioned too much recently, but we were knocked off of YouTube. The more time passes, the more I realize how insane that is. Yeah. That YouTube saw this program as such a threat. I mean, think about this.
Yep.
Think about this, old you. It's like I'd like to know what it is that we're doing. But no kidding, they knocked us off of YouTube. Huge hit financially, huge hit in many ways. So I'm just being the more bold in asking you, make sure you sign up for our newsletter. You go to ericmetaxas.com. That's ericmetaxas.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Share these videos. We did an amazing interview with Mike Lindell the other day. The man is a hero. We did the interview today, obviously, with Kathy Lee Gifford. Just tremendous, important interviews, but we do need your help. We need you to share this stuff. So go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter, so you'll get these things emailed to you, and you can share them. Please share them on social media. I try to share these things on Gab, on Parler, on Twitter, on Getter, on Facebook, wherever we can do that. But we really do need your help, so I'm bluntly asking you for your help. And speaking of asking for your help, we're doing a fundraiser with Christian Solidarity International. We're able to free slaves. This is one of these things that you can't make it up, that there is true evil in the world. But the great news, and again, I can't even believe it, as wicked and horrible as it is to acknowledge that something that horrifying is going on, then you think, wait a minute, we can actually do something about it. We don't just have to weep and pray. Yeah. We can weep and pray and then do something totally positive. For $250, and by the way, I want to encourage people to give whatever you can. It makes no difference, whatever you want to give. But if you can give $250 or you can pool it together with the kids, you can free a slave. I mean, folks, we talked about this with Kevin McCulley yesterday, not just to free a slave, but to set them up in life so that they're freed, but then we set them up so that they can function. And it's just so beautiful.
They get a goat and all that. And it's all in time for Christmas, too. I mean, think about the Christmas season for us here in America. Think about a slave being freed in time to celebrate a Christian holiday.
I want to say it is so beautiful and so moving. Now, by the way, here's two things that we can say. So if you want to do this in somebody's name, you say, we freed a slave in your name. That's what we did for Christmas, you know, dad, mom, $250. Now, if there's anybody out there who can give $2,500 to free 10 slaves, I want to say that we have, this is a hat, a Make America Great Again hat, given to me by the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Okay, I didn't buy it. He gave it to me, okay? Yesterday I said he gave me two of these. We found a third one, okay? Mm-hmm. So we have three of these. I also have the pen that he used to sign a number of them. Obviously, he didn't sign these, but he did give us the hat. He gave me the hat, and he gave me the pen. And I would love to sign this to you or to anyone who's able to free 10 slaves, give $2,500 to Christian Solidarity International. You have to go to MetaxasTalk.com. That's our radio website, MetaxasTalk.com.
And obviously the first three people that give $2,500, right? And
we only have three.
You're going to sign your name, not the president's name.
I will sign my name. But I will sign it to somebody if you say, I want this, you know, to my Uncle Jim or to Bradley Cooper, to Lady Gaga, anybody that you know who's been in a film. But I mean, in all seriousness, it's a great opportunity. So I want to say that. And then I always say this, anybody who can give $10,000, folks, it would be my honor to have dinner with you. We do this all the time. You set it up. It could be 20 people. It could be three people. But if we're in the same town, it would be my honor to spend that kind of time with you. So please do go to MetaxasTalk.com. Or you can call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522. This is urgent. This is important. Great opportunity. Thank you.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.